You're listening to the Ask Coach Parry podcast. If you'd like to join thousands of other runners from around the world who are getting direct access to Coach Parry, his science-backed training plans that work, and a community of runners to motivate you and hold you accountable, then head over to coachparry.com/ask.
Welcome onto another edition of the Ask Coach Parry podcast. We've got a question from Susan today, and we've got Lindsay Parry with us once again. Lindsay, over the last couple of months, we've been asked lots of these sorts of questions on the training platform within the forum on the Coach Parry app. And Susan is really struggling with heat and humidity and fatigue. She says, I've noticed that I feel increasingly fatigued as the weeks go on her training. It's very hot and humid here right now, and that is always been difficult on me. I grew up in much cooler, drier climate. So is it possible that that could explain it, the heat and humidity? I've been failing to complete my runs due to to the time duration suggested. She's just not feeling it. I feel fatigued after about 2 miles and then I just give up. This week I decided to continue for the entire duration, even if I do a fair bit of walking. Is that a good strategy to get the time in that she should be training? We obviously did a couple of weeks ago a whole session on training in heat and humidity. If you haven't seen that yet, it is under the videos tab of the Coach Parry app. But what advice could you give someone like Susan and someone like Susan who, do you push through and just keep going in heat and humidity, or do you back off a little bit?
Yeah, so Susan, that I think is the most important aspect, is to accept that heat is a big physiological stressor and humidity is a bigger physiological stressor. So heat and humidity are essentially the two biggest physiological stress that we need to deal with during running. Everyone knows the impact that altitude has, and for some reason accepts that as a limiter. You just know when you go from sea level to 4,000, 5,000 feet, 1,500, 2,000 meters above sea level, you just know that you have to adjust your intensity. There isn't a choice. So because of that, the answer quite simply is you must adjust your intensity. If for example, your plan is suggesting a 10-minute mile pace for an hour, then I would go as far as to say that you probably need to adjust that down to around 10-30 miles and or increase the frequency and duration of your walk break. So I would still try to get the hour in, but at a much lower intensity, and there will also be cumulative fatigue, particularly if you don't pay very special attention to rehydrating after runs. I mean, you in a hot, humid environment, what happens is that the humidity makes it extremely hard for your body to cool down because the environment you're in is saturated. So normally in a hotter, drier environment, when we sweat, that sweat evaporates off the skin, and that evaporation leads to cooling. And that's why in a hot environment, you can sometimes exercise fairly close to what you are accustomed to doing. But in the humid environment, that evaporation doesn't happen. So your skin just gets super wet and your body wants to cool down, so it sweats more and it sweats more and it sweats more, and so you lose much more fluid in those environments than you do in a hot dry environment, almost twice as much. And if you are not rehydrating and looking after yourself between exercise bouts, then your overall fatigue is going to be worse. And I would say if you're in an extremely hot and humid environment and you are struggling with the cumulative fatigue, is that you may even want to go on to 2 weeks of loading, 1 week recovery instead of 3 weeks of loading. So there's two ends of the scale that we can balance, and the one is making sure we reduce our intensity, and the other one is increasing the frequency of our recovery weeks. Now the good news is that if you train and you train well in hot, humid environments, your body makes very similar adaptations to what you get at training at altitude. So typically in places that are this hot and humid, when you get into winter, much cooler temperatures arrive. And it's quite unsettling in a way because as soon as the temperatures get into the acceptable range, you will be amazed at how good you feel. And then you will realize that all the training and slog that you've been doing up to that point has not been in vain. It's worked, and you're going to be able to perform. And just to wrap up heat and humidity, we also become less and less equipped to deal with the heat and humidity the older that we get. So we definitely struggle with thermoregulation. So that is another factor to consider. If you are an older runner, then I would encourage you to have a listen to our previous podcast on modalities that you can use to help keep you cool on the run.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to check that out, it's under the videos tab on the Coach Parry app. Definitely go and have a look at that. It is well worth the watch. We did it a couple of months ago. It was superb. Lindsay, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated.
Cheers, Brad.
Brad here again. Before I go, if you're peri or postmenopausal, then join sports scientist and head of the female athlete program here at CoachParry.com, Shona Hendricks, in our upcoming Running Through Menopause Masterclass. If you'd like to recover from sessions quicker, not feel fatigued or tired all the time, run pain and injury free, improve your endurance, and of course, run faster to and through menopause, then head over to CoachParry.com/menopause or simply click on the link in your podcast player now.